I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Welcome into episode number 284 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. It's KB coming at you from Underground Studios, and coming at you from the stew, it's Coach Deitch.
Dude, I'm always in like a new place. Like, I can't just record from one area. But I got good news for the people. I'll be doing the show from the studio until I get a new laptop, because my laptop is the reason why things always suck for me. So this is comfortable for now. Get used to this very abstract setup. That is my office.
You got the smooth jazz microphone going on right now.
Hey, but the best part is, like, I don't have to leave my office. I have, like, the studio on this side, and then that's, like, my work desk. So I just, like, flop back and forth, and it's just so nice. Just secluded.
Smooth jazz, WDJL, DJ Lacrosse.
Get out of here. Get out of here. I actually go by Dejan in the afternoon. That is my on-air name.
There it is. He's dropping the full Govy.
Hey, not the full Govy. They don't get the middle name.
He's DIA.
I'm glad you know.
We got a bunch to dive into. It's All-Star Week. We're going to recap everything that went down in Fairfield. We had Media Day with Paul Rabel today prior to the All-Star Game happening this weekend. So we'll touch on some of the stuff that was brought up in the presser there. And then some big changes in the NLL that shook the landscape quite a bit in the West. We'll talk about that as well, as DJ just stares into your soul. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. Make sure you guys are following us on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, at OTBLaxPod. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311. Deej on Twitter at SCS_next_great. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. Leave a 5-star rating and review. Goes a long way for helping this show continue to grow. Helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia. Helps us do really dope stuff that we want to keep doing. Our audio numbers for our main show have been true to roof the past month. Let's keep it rolling with OTB. You guys keep subscribing. We're going to be able to do even cooler stuff than we are right now. So it does go a long way when you do click that subscribe, when you do leave a 5-star review. So please be sure to do that. And subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show, every show on our network. You get clips, live streams, interviews, original content across the board. You get it all if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we're currently at 516 subscribers. And if we don't get 484 more of you to subscribe before DJ's birthday on September 4th, DJ's booking a one-way trip to Alaska from Gillette Stadium.
Alaskan Airlines, baby. I heard they're pretty good.
We go.
I heard they're pretty good. Colin? Question mark? You want to let me know about
the official rating?
About Alaska?
So be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel so Deej doesn't have to move to Alaska. And it really will help us do some really cool stuff in the future in video form. Also, go get your merch, PHI Apparel, the best in the game. There are official merch partners. Go to phiapparel.co. If you want to stand out in the crowd at the remaining PLL weekends, if you want to stand out going to your favorite NLL stadiums, going to the bar, hanging out with your boys, hanging out with the ladies, hanging out with your family, you're going to stand out in your official Outside the Box podcast merch. Go to phiapparel.co. Use code UNDERGROUND for 10% off any and all merch orders. It's the most effective and direct way to support everything we're doing here at Outside the Box and with Underground Sports Philadelphia. So go get your merch. Use that code UNDERGROUND for 10% off and stay styling and profiling throughout the year. Not just the summer, not just the fall, all year. Go get your merch, phiapparel.co. What's popping, Deej?
Man, I'm living good. Living good. We're putting some things together for the station here for Hip Hop Day next month. I'm doing very well in terms of my writing here at work and hitting LPV goals. I had a fantastic summer this summer with my travel team. We went 3-1 in tournaments. We only lost 3 games all summer. And we came first, and second in our tournaments this summer. So the things are trending in a great direction. I got an update a little bit on our funding for my high school team. We are this close to being a funded program by our school system. And dude, I'm so pumped about it. You know, so we took it to the director of secondary education and we did a whole proposal to him, and he read through everything, looked at our data that we compiled of players in the program, how many went to college, how much money it's going to cost, why we need it, why the program's good, all that good jazz. And he absolutely loved it. He's taken it to a few eyes. They loved it. He's like, I just want to talk to a few more people before I send this up to the larger group that has to say yes. But he doesn't see it being shut down, basically. So seems like we're going to be getting myself and 2 assistant coaches, transportation and referee fees paid for, which opens up $13,000 a year.
What?
If not more. So
what?
I'll be able to buy some helmets and gloves and sticks, and now I can take a average kid here in Kalamazoo and say, come play lacrosse.
He said, helmets, what? Gloves, what? Sticks, what? Referee fees paid, what?
Anything. All what? Of it's going to be so easy to get now. Buy a new set of white jerseys and black what? Shorts so we can have three. We will be one of very few teams to have 3 different jerseys if I'm able to pull that off.
Flex on them.
So then we'll, because I believe they're going to change the rules soon to where you have to wear the same top as you do bottom, because right now you can have different color and most people do 2 jersey, 1 short. So right now I have gray shorts with gray top, black top. If I'm able to pull this off, I'll have gray top and bottom, white top and bottom, black top and bottom. And if they never change the rule, I'll be able to wear what I want in any combination and be the best looking team at all times. So things are on the up and up for Coach Deej in the world right now, outside of what we'll get into later.
Can we get a bang in the chat? YouTube comment section, give us a bang, a Coach Holman version, a Mike Breen version, however bang. You want to drop it. Bang. Let's get into recapping Fairfield, though. It was a doozy of a time. I was on location. Fairfield showed out once again. I will be stunned if Fairfield is not one of these final 8 teams locations for the PLL, or if it's one of those flex cities potentially year in and year out or somehow on the calendar, because Fairfield shows out for the PLL. This past weekend's games, the Water Dogs win 16-13 over the Whipsnakes. Archers win in the lowest scoring game in PLL history, 10-3 over the Redwoods. Cannons double up Chrome 12-6. And then Chaos take the nightcap of the weekend, 15-11 over Atlas. Quite the weekend. Deej, which game stood out to you the most from this weekend as kind of the one that defined Fairfield 2023?
It's obvious. It's obvious. It was Archer's Redwoods for two different reasons, right? Archers now look like, is this the year? Like, that's what a lot of people are now looking at them like. Like, is this the year the Archers finally put it all together and they're going to win, right? They have Connor Fields. They have Mac O'Keefe. They have Tom Sharper. Their offense is playing at an all-time high. I don't think anybody saw Brett Dobson coming into this year and playing at the level he is. We all saw him being pretty good after what we saw from him last year, but to play at, I mean, he's playing at a Blaze Reardon level. Like, when we look at stats and we look at fantasy, like, because that's kind of a good thing to compare now in terms of how many fantasy coins somebody is, that's really relevant off of how they've played in the last few games. Him and Blaze are really right at the top every week. They're 1A and 1B, like, boom, boom. So it's like nobody saw that side coming. Their defense has come together. They're still playing very well. Short stick D mids, even though they're running two rookies there, are some of the best in the league. It's hard to say it's not their year. When you beat a team 10-3 and it never looked like you struggled on either side of the ball at any point, it starts to look like it's your year and it's your trophy to lose. And that's kind of where a lot of people are aiming toward. And if it's not them, then it's Water Dogs, because they're also 4-1 and everybody's looking at them in the same way as kind of who's going to beat them. If they're playing this well and they're not even healthy. But then, you know, look on the flip side, the Woods, everybody was looking at them like, yeah, they're doing very well this year. They've kind of turned the tide the last couple games. Now has everybody questioning the midfield. What are you going to do in the midfield? Who are you going to trade in the midfield? Why isn't the midfield working? There's not a lot of point production there. All of that was showcased in this game. And between those two storylines, it's kind of just taken over the weekend. Like, there was a lot of other good things that happened. Like, that Water Dogs game was fantastic. But when you have a game like that, that is tied for the worst scoring out point from a team, it's going to overshadow pretty much every other game, kind of no matter what else happens. Look at the Cannons. Cannons played a fantastic game and are continuing to just go on an absolute tear right now, looking like they may be a top three team in the league. If we look at the last month and a half, the Cannons are a top three team. Just the way they've been playing, even if like their record and their like point production doesn't show, the energy and the effort that they play with is a top three level. And
the Woods just... You want a fun piece of information, Deej?
I do.
Can you guess who the team in the league who has scored the most goals is this season?
Scored the most?
Mm-hmm. Or I should say points. Most points.
It might be the Cannons, actually.
You'd be correct by a decent margin. Mm-hmm. 71. 71 scores this season for the Cannons.
That's crazy. They're giving up quite a bit, too. They're in a lot of high-scoring games, but...
You're giving up 61.
They're winning.
They put in 10 more differential in the league.
They put in 10 more goals than everybody else.
Next highest scoring is Whipstinks and Atlas at 65.
But they're both really giving up a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And they're not winning games either. So that's the flip side of that. The Cannons are in a better space giving up that many goals because they're winning games.
Right.
Those two are really struggling. And obviously that came out of this weekend too, is how much those teams are struggling. And a lot of the trade talks were in reference to those two teams and the Redwoods, which I get, but I don't. Seriously. Like, my opinion with Redwoods is if you're going to trade, it's going to be, this hurts to say, especially as a guy literally sitting in Kalamazoo, Michigan right now, if there's anybody to trade in the midfield, it's Kirk. I know you don't get a lot for him. You can get something, draft pick even, or two, and that's what you get. Or maybe you do trade Miles, but I don't like trading Miles because there is still something there, especially in the last few games. He may not be at that point production he's been the last couple of years, but the last couple games, he's been dodging hard. He's actually been shooting the ball. He's taking the right reads. He's trying to, you know, be dime man again and throw the right pass. Like he's returning to at least a form of himself that can be productive. We haven't seen anything from Pert. But besides that, the Woods haven't really had a problem this year. They had one bad game and now everybody's on the chopping block. Like, I think that's asinine.
I think it's more so.
Now the midfield has had problems all year.
I think it's to fix that so that, because this realistically is, to put it in my perspective, and a lot of our listeners, since a lot of our listeners are from Philly, it's very Sixers-esque, where the Woods go to the championship year one, and then they've progressively gotten worse in terms of finishing point every single year, and they've thrown all their chips in the table year in and year out, trade deadline, free agency now, like to go and get the best possible roster. You're running out of opportunity to throw those chips in the middle of the table and produce the best possible roster. So I think when something's not working, you have to figure out, okay, what can we do to accommodate what is working and make that better? And I think that's why you're seeing trade proposals for a Miles, a Perk, you know, trading draft picks to acquire guys that fit better with the scheme that John Grant Jr. is running offensively. It's very attack heavy, as we've noticed through the first half of the season. So I think if you're the Redwoods and you feel like this is a year that you can still win a championship, which I still think that is fully on the table, like they're not dead in the water. It's not like they're sitting here looking like Chrome or looking like Atlas, where like it seems like a lot is hopeless right now. Redwoods are still fully in the mix, but they need to figure out these midfield issues, because you can't be playing 34 minutes of defense week in and week out like they did last week and expect to find yourself in Philadelphia at the end of the year.
Well, I don't think it's hard, first off. I think it's John Grant Jr. and Nat have to go to them and be like, look, you need to play lacrosse. You need to cut off ball. You need to set screens. You need to dodge hard. You need to take smart shots. You need to move the ball. Like, they're just not doing those things. Like, it's very different to be doing those things and it's just not working, but they're not doing them. And some of them are doing them, but not doing them hard enough, not trying. Like, there's really no lack of – there's no space for lack of, like, full effort at this level. You know what I'm saying? And then the opposite side of that is they're also like not always putting them in the best positions, right? Jules has done his very best this year inverting, going below and dodging from behind on the short stick. Do something to put him in those situations, right? We all know that Miles can handle the pole and dish it to a guy who gets open off ball. Put Miles against the pole, send him on a sweep, get a guy moving in a curl, and he can move the ball back for an open shot. Like, you know, and then On the other side of that, you have another short stick out there. So that's Charlie Bertrand, Cole Kearse, Anthony DeMeo, Nakai, whoever you want to put there is on a short stick. Give them the open space to dodge as well and see what they have. And maybe those are just people you flat out say, when you get the ball, climb the ladder on the short stick, dodge hard toward the net and shoot it. If you don't make it, that's okay. We'll chase it and get it back. Like, just – some coaching has to come in to set these guys up to be in the most successful position. And right now that's like not happening.
I also like, I'm firmly right now, after watching him play this past weekend in person and having watched him in person and on TV all year when I'm not at the games with you or just by myself, there's no reason that Kearse should not be in the lineup over Perk right now. No reason whatsoever. Like, Perk being in the lineup right now is doing far more harm to this roster than it is help. He's not shooting the two. He's not dodging. His vision is so off. Like, he took some shots this week. I'm like, what are you doing? They're sailing 60 feet in the air wide of his target. There's no need for Sergio Perkovic to be in a game day roster right now.
I agree.
Especially when Kearse had that one game, he pops off and then he's not in the lineup again. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was a shot in the arm. in that midfield.
And
keep him playing.
And I can quote way back to when during the draft stream, when he drafted him, I said, I remember being, I was through the roof because I word for word, I was like, I remember being at the JMA Wireless Dome this year, watching Cuse take on Notre Dame. And every time Cuse needed something, it was him going through the entire defense, scoring, and then providing that extra spark and the energy. And it, like, he did it one time in the third quarter, and then he forced his team to do a bench mob. Like, he just ran in front of everybody and then just, like, started pushing people. And I was like, this is what you need at any kind of level of lacrosse. And, like, I don't know. I don't care who you take off of the roster to have him on, but he – I don't see too many teams not playing their rookies. The rookies are fresh out of school. They're in good shape. They provide spark. They're playing very well. A lot of them are playing the very best lacrosse they played coming right out of school because they're coming right out of the national tournament where they are trying to play their best. I don't see why you wouldn't play them.
There's no need. Like, until further notice, Perk should not be in a game day lineup. The Archers looked phenomenal. They are a well-oiled machine. It was nice to see Grant back out there, too. This is a podcast exclusive. I texted this to you.
Yeah.
Grant was,
I knew exactly where you were going.
And he told a kid in a Redwoods jersey that he doesn't sign Redwoods jerseys because he was about to beat the shit out of those guys in a couple hours. Well played.
I ain't mad at him.
Well played. That's that Philly bull in him.
I'm just glad I'm kind of glad that it aged well for him.
Yeah.
Because I'm glad because he would have looked like a real dick if that didn't age well. And like, he said that to that kid, but I'm also like upset. Cause like the Redwoods of all people, like, do that to somebody else.
We were dying. Other takeaways for me, Water Dogs are fucking sick. I love watching that team. They are so good. Again, well-oiled machine. They don't quit. Even when things like seem down, they just keep trucking along. Doesn't matter who's in, who's out. No Connor Kelly again this weekend. And they still drop a 16-piece. Eli Gobrecht at the stripe. I loved his Instagram caption. Negative 20 fantasy points. Big dub. Ring day. Shout out to the boy. Water Dogs hit their rings and win on ring night. Whip Snakes lose Kyle Burnlor. Dislocated elbow was the confirmed injury on the injury report. He posted on his Instagram today that he is fully expecting to play again this season. That's what he's working towards. So best wishes and a speedy recovery and a healthy recovery to KB35. Rambo's out now for a couple weeks too with a dislocated or broken finger. I don't know what it is. They need to put his hand in bubble wrap because this is like the third straight year now he's been dealing with a left hand injury. And it sucks because he's been having a great year.
Sounds like he might be doing what his homeboy does. Zeddy ball game. He might be thumbing the ball and that's why he keeps breaking.
It's crazy. This is the third straight because obviously 2021, last year he was out with an injury, and now this year, put his hand in like a hyperbaric chamber and only take it out on game day. Can't use his left hand ever again unless it's on game day.
Let me know how that works out.
Yeah. The Cannons are fun too, man. That team, night and day from what they were a year ago. I don't know if it's just like the new influx of leadership in that locker room, which I'm sure plays a part with, you know, your Marcus Holmans, your Matt Cavanaugh's, your Adam Gittleman's in that locker room, along with just a new take on coaching from this coaching staff. But man, that team is having fun. They play for each other, and to win 12-6, the way that they did was very, very impressive.
I'm going to be that guy. You know, I love LT4.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy.
Dude, nobody's thought about it yet.
Oh, they've been thought about it. You got to peruse the timeline a little bit because people are out of pocket.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how does it fit? How does it work? How does it, like, does this change at all? Like, what effect does he have when he comes back? I'm not saying don't bring him back, not like don't move. I'm assuming he's coming back. He's going to play X, but like, what kind of effect does that have on the team? And like, how does it change the way the offense flows? Like all that kind of thing is like where my head is. It's all like X's and O's and analytically. I'm not, never would I say not bring the guy back.
I don't think it changes like exponentially other than you have arguably the best offensive player on the planet coming into your offense. And I mean, what coach doesn't want to have Lyle Thompson coming into their system and working with Lyle Thompson?
I agree, but like it hasn't. To me, there's been such a drastic flip. And I don't know if that's because of coaching.
I think a big part of it's coaching.
Guys feel like more comfortable. I can imagine that.
We got to talk to Asher and Kirstie after the game. Those guys were on the roster all year. And I asked Asher, I said, what's the difference between last year and this year? And he said, last year, you know, me and Kirst, we were next to each other. We saw our jerseys in the lockers every single week. But there was a lot of turnover last year with guys coming in and out of the locker room. There wasn't a lot of consistency. There wasn't a lot of, like, familiarity with people. And this year, now that we kind of have a set roster, we have guys in the locker room that, like, we know faces every single week and we're not worrying about who we're playing with. I think a lot of it is kind of just, like, the roster chemistry where you have guys that are just comfortable playing with each other now and they know who they're playing with, which is something we brought up with Chrome last week. It's like they have no fucking idea who they're playing with week in and week out right now. I think that plays a big part, and I think this coaching staff just is putting their guys in the best position to win. And Coach Holman brought it up too. He's like, when they were building this roster, you'd go back and watch film from last year. It's like, okay, I want that guy on my team. I want that guy on my team. I want that guy on my team. I don't want that guy on my team. He's good at this roster building thing and figuring out which guys fit well with one another. And I think that's played a huge part in this 3-game win streak for them is camaraderie team-wise, that locker room leadership. You know, when you have guys like Drenner, when you have guys like Marcus Holman, Gittleman, even Bones Kelly, like who's been around the block and knows, you know, the lay of the land, and he's in that locker room. You have a 16-year veteran in Kyle Hartzell in that locker room. I think that means something to a lot of these younger guys to be able to learn from them. Kirst brought up like he had been watching Gitz since he was in middle school. That made me feel old because Gittleman's only like 6 years older than me, and I was like, you're fucking young. But like I think that to these younger guys who are first-year, second-year pros, to have that like locker room leadership beyond the coaching staff is a huge aspect to the success that they're having.
Well, I was speaking more on kind of relating it to like playing with LeBron. Like, I feel like guys are just nervous for the first 25, 30 games just to like play with LeBron because it's LeBron. Like, I feel like Lyle has that effect where it's like, it's Lyle Thompson. You're playing with who most people consider to be the greatest player ever. Like, I feel like there's some timidness in some players. And I feel like I don't see that this year. Like last year, it seemed like guys were hesitant to dodge or hesitant to shoot in certain situations. And now this year, it seems like the offense is just so free flow. And I don't know if that's credited to, you know, the chemistry point, the coaching, or if it's because Lyle isn't there, or if it's a mix of that. Like, it's just no.
I also think last real way year, to tell. Like, I just think the scheme this year that they're playing offensively is so much more conducive to everything they're doing. Like the system they were running last year was like that Virginia offense, and it just never meshed, I think, with the talent that was on the roster, coupled with you're bringing guys in and out every week to try to make stuff work. I think now that they have, like, a foundation of like how they're going to operate their offense, who's, you know, running from where, who's coming in every week, you know, playing attack, who's coming out of the box, who's comfortable, you know, in a two-man game together. I think the system is also, and not that you ever want to credit like a system for the talent, because they have a widely talented roster too, but I think the system is more conducive to the talent that's on the roster. And I think that plays a part too. You know, you look at what we're talking about with the Redwoods, like some of the system that they're running right now is not conducive to everybody on the roster. And I think part of the Cannon success now is they are operating in an offensive system that meshes well with the skill sets of their players.
We're saying the same thing. I just don't know how it works with Lyle. That's what I'm saying. I agree that it's working very well.
Because we haven't seen it.
And that's all I was pointing out was, like, I just wanted to, like, throw that out there that, like, we love the Cannons right now, but will we love them again next year? Or are guys going to go back to being timid? And is this offense going to change again? Like, we don't know. That's all I was saying is people might fall in love with what the Cannons are this year, and then it might turn into literally the complete opposite next year. But there's no way for us to know until Lyle comes back from sabbatical next year.
I'm going to go full-blown That's So Raven right now. I'm looking to the future. Nah, I still think the Cannons are going to be pretty good. I just looked into the future. We're good. Lyle's going to be good. Cannons are going to be good.
I am screaming.
And then Chaos. That was the game of the weekend for me. Chaos Atlas. You had the boy getting the start, Drake Porter. Shout out to the kid. Going absolutely nuclear viral. Chomping on his headband. Going absolute sicko mode. You had the Brian Minicus army, who I am full send in love with Brian Minicus as a human. He is so much fun to talk to. He was in the press conference afterwards. He's great. That's a huge reason why this Chaos team is so successful as well. Brian Minicus being added into this offense has changed them for the better, has made them multidimensional, has made them less predictive, and that's why you're seeing their success right now. That's why they're 3-2. That's why they'd be in the championship series if the season ended today. That's why they are the 4 seed right now. And that's why if you're still doubting Chaos at this point in the season, you're fooling yourselves. They're a playoff team. They're going to be dangerous. And they are extremely fun to watch in the echelon of Archers, Water Dogs, Cannons. Like, those are the four most fun week in and week out teams to watch just because of how fluid their teams are top to bottom, how much fun it looks like they are having as a team, and just they're playing beautiful lacrosse right now, those four teams. Like, there is a huge discrepancy in terms of just, like, overall morale and fun and vibes from teams 1-4 in the standings right now to team 5, which is the Redwoods.
They're like on their own.
To then, right. Like, it's 1-4. Then you have Redwoods. And then 6-8 are down bad.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird how it's shaping out this year.
I mean, the Minicus army in the stands, whipping their shirts around like it was Pittsburgh with the Stillers. I was just waiting for them to play Renegade.
That would have gone hard.
It would have been crazy.
That would have gone so hard.
Fairfield was a blast. Shout out Sally's. Finally got the goods from there. And Connecticut needs to be on the map every single PLL season in my book. It needs to be a home city for somebody. I was talking to the boy, Connor Eck. He was there this weekend as well. He brought up a fun proposition, Deej. Now, everybody is full send. It's the Boston Cannons. It's the Boston Cannons. Got to run back with the Boston Cannons. He brought up a very fun aspect of this because, optically, Gillette Stadium is not the best on TV for the PLL in terms of just, like, seeing the stands full, etc., etc. He said, make Fairfield the Cannons' home base, and it's the New England Cannons. I was like, that's a good point. I don't hate the idea. Because
or
then
just
you
leave
have
Boston, just leave in Boston and they still play in Fairfield. Who cares? Who cares?
It's like the Washington Commanders.
Who play where?
To play in Landover, Maryland. But I was like, that's
who
not
cares?
A bad that's not a bad thought process.
No.
Because Fairfield, one, they sell out every year. It's great vibes. Great stadium. I don't hate that idea of making Fairfield the home base for the Cannons.
I mean, we're going to find out real soon.
We're going to find out real soon. That's for damn sure. But yeah, very fun weekend in Fairfield. And that brings us to the All-Star Game Media Day. And it's brought to you by our friends over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. Stars are shining bright. You got to protect your eyes. Tomahawk Shades has you covered. They got the sunglasses, the blue light plus glasses to protect your eyes when you're staring at screens all day like DJ and I are. You only get one set of eyes, guys, so make sure you're treating them right. Go to tomahawkshades.com, and when you go to check out, when your cart's all full with the best eyewear in the game from two former lacrosse players as well as owners of the company, Kyle Harrison, Chris Hogan, ever heard of them, use promo code USP for 25% off at checkout on any order. You can use it anytime. Promo code USP for 25% off at tomahawkshades.com. DJ, we had media day today with the one and only Paul Rabil. Some interesting aspects that he brought up regarding the All-Star game. Seems like the All-Star game is an important aspect of them, just like determining markets and everything. I asked Paul about that and if the All-Star game would be more so conducive to them testing out new markets for fan engagement, for interaction, for different cities that they've never been to. First time they're going to a city that they've never been to outside of, you know, the typical schedule. Last year it was Gillette, and then we were in San Jose, and we were in L.A. So I'm excited for a brand new market that has zero PLL ties whatsoever. I think Kentucky's going to be bonkos from just the early on ticket sales that were tweeted about when they announced the All-Star game. I'm excited to see how Kentucky takes in the PLL.
I mean, it's a new market, and I mean, it's not new to lacrosse. It's just new to the PLL. There's tons of lacrosse down there. I had a college buddy who played in Kentucky, and he was pretty good as well. So I think they're going to absolutely blow the doors off of it and pop out for the, and it's only one day. So they have a real opportunity to kind of just pop out and really show how much lacrosse means to them. Cause they have one day to do it. So it's not over like a huge commitment for them. They can kind of just go out, enjoy the game, enjoy the skills comp, and then go back home. But I think Louisville is kind of like that superstar kind of lifestyle that you're looking for an All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, you have the ties with Dylan Ward and Ryan Augehaven going to college in Kentucky. So that plays as well. I also asked Paul about the PLL app and how thrilled, pleased, whatever word you want to use, they've been with that. And it seems like the PLL app has been popping more than ever. And seeing the success of that, whether it's between, on site at games and in the premier zone to TV broadcasts, incorporating the app to just the everyday, login type of stuff with the app where it's like, boom, log in, get experience points, boom, log in, answer trivia to level up your status in the app and everything like that. I think the app has been such a huge piece of the puzzle of growth for the PLL. And I mean, for us as media people, it's been a godsend when we're on location for games on weekends and even at home, like being able to pull up stats as quickly as we can in the app. So it's good to see that like the app is continuing to develop and continuing to be an integral part of the league's growth and everything. But I like what Paul had to say about the app and its importance. also laughed when no rule changes for the All-Star game testing were brought up, when he said we're pretty much testing the face-off as is right now in the regular season. I'm cool with no rule change. Like, I think, like, yes, an All-Star game is supposed to be fun, but, like, when it gets too gimmicky, that's when it becomes unwatchable.
I agree. And I think they've – making the transition from captains to now the Rising Stars versus Vets was a very good job in getting away from that kind of look and being too gimmicky. That's at least the first step. Excuse me. I haven't seen anything about, like, the face-offs, so they seem to be regular.
Yeah, it's
this year, which
32-second and then 52-second win.
I love that. I didn't like the whole, like, puck drop. And I didn't mind the take it out of the net, kind of like basketball. Like, that was fine with me. But, like, everything else was kind of eh.
Yeah. I'm glad that there's no, like, massive rule changes, because it'll actually feel like a real game. And I agree with you. I love the Rising Stars versus the Vets. It's so much better. It's the whole draft, and Paul said it, you know, the drafting thing has gotten boring. It's gotten tired. It's too gimmicky. Like, I need other sports to stop doing that. I really love to see, like, Major League Baseball, because they have the bigger pool to do it. Like, go to a USA versus World type of situation. Like, I would love to see that in a PLL All-Star game one year. But yeah, I think this format is great. I think it's conducive to the current state of the PLL, and to bring a refreshed and rejuvenated aspect of an All-Star game to a market they've never been to is so fucking smart.
Yeah, I mean, I that's the best way to do it, is because you can test it. You can see what it's going to be like, how people embrace the product, and it's not uberly expensive for you to put on the product for the weekend. And it also just gives an opportunity for lacrosse to grow in a place that it might not be as big yet. I think people miss that opportunity too, that comes along with a lot of this touring, is it's not just going to the spots that are already big because you know you're going to make the money and like that kind of thing, but it's also going to a spot like Louisville, like San Diego. I think they went, it was for the All-Star 2019.
I forget where it was, 2019.
But it was somewhere in California.
Somewhere in California. It was San Jose in 2021.
Yeah. And, you know, like, Florida's been brought up a couple of times. Like, you know, some of these places are strictly just going to see how much better you can make lacrosse grow in that area, how much quicker, because some of it is already growing at a pace, but to take the PLL there and get eyes on it there might help boost the game. And that's kind of what some of the touring model is about as well. So it's not all about results.
Mm-hmm. We also got our alternates for the All-Star game replacing the injured players. So on the Vets, replacing Matt Rambo will be his teammate Will Manny. Replacing Trevor Baptiste is one of the boys. Face-off specialist himself, Eli Gobrecht. Mike Messinger is being replaced by Romar Dennis. Zach Goodrich being replaced by Ty Warner. Josh Byrne being replaced by Connor Fields. Kyle Burnlore being replaced by Sean Scannone. Matt Dunn being replaced by Ben Randall. Mike Manley replaced by Matt Reese. Jack Rowlett is being replaced by Ryland Reese. Michael Earhart being replaced by Troy Ray. And Ryan Drenner also added to the veterans roster. I believe that's the Connor Kelly replacement. And then the Rising Stars, for Chris Gray, it'll be his teammate Xander Dixon. For Danny Logan, it'll be Latrell Harris. And for Matt Moore, it will be Justin Anderson. Thoughts, takeaways, because there's still some snubs, but Paul brought up that it is based on position replacement followed by votes, this, that, and the third. So don't be up in arms by the replacements. It's a lot to do with the position being replaced more so than anything.
Yeah, and that was what I was going to go. Like, the two guys that I, like, would have liked to see get replaced, like, be in the reserves were Kieran and Jackson Moreau. But it's like, you look at the attack, and it's like, that is probably the hardest position to put in the All-Star, because That's what everybody's looking for. Everybody wants to know who's scoring the goals. Like, the other positions are kind of easier because the votes kind of slant really quickly and really easily, based off of kind of just simply who's the best at that position. Whereas offensively, even in the midfield, it's really just all about who can score. Because that's what everybody's looking for, especially the young kids. Like, highlights, how many defensive highlights do we see? Like, there's hardly ever defensive highlight tapes put together, but there's a ton for offense. You know? Like, how often is there a defensive highlight on top 10? But we've had how many offensive goals on top 10 already? Like, that's just the name of the game. So I understand why they didn't make it. Ian McKay, it was a little like, I don't know how he doesn't make it. He is an all-around midfielder, kind of like, you know, a number of guys. So you easily could have found a way to put him in there. But then maybe it comes down to votes. Just simply didn't have enough votes.
Did your mic disconnect?
I don't think so. Did it?
Oh, there we go. It might just be where you were.
I might have just been sitting back a little.
Because I was like, whoa, he sounds echoey. Yeah, I don't have a problem with who got put in, really. I was kind of surprised Xander Dixon got in. Like, he had a hot start to the year, first couple games with a couple highlight reel things, but he's kind of cooled off a little bit. But yeah, I mean, those are your replacements there. It's tough to predict an all-star game per se, so you know, we'll see how it all plays out. Just hope both teams have fun. Shout out to the boys that are playing. I think we had initially 10 friends of the pod who have been on the show, along with a couple pod adjacent friends that are in the all-star game. Now you add Eli to the mix, you add Connor Fields to the mix, Rylan Reese to the mix, Will Manny, Troy Ray, Ryan Drenner, Treasy. Just saying.
Looking good.
It helps to come on the pod.
It's looking good.
The boys are buzzing. Stoked for everybody, though, that's going. And should be a fun all-star game. The only other question I wish I would have been able to ask Paul would have been, down the line, do you anticipate a full send, like, all-star weekend? And not just a single day.
Yeah, yeah.
I am happy that it's Saturday, though, and not Sunday.
I almost made the decision to go because it was Saturday. I did. It's only 5 hours from here, and I really wish I would have known that earlier this year because I would have made you get on a plane. I almost would have bought your ticket. I'd be like, you are flying to me this time. I'm driving you up there. You were getting the All-Star experience.
That we didn't know because I did have some unexpected things pop up this weekend. So it did work out for me, but I'm bummed that can't be at the All-Star game, but we'll get to one eventually.
Oh, yeah. One that's more suitable for us.
They haven't been in great spots. We've got the skills competitions, and we've got the 8 finalists for home bases being announced during halftime of the All-Star game this year.
Crazy.
I am going to pull up these lists.
That's crazy that announcement isn't coming at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So now I wonder what they're going to announce on New Year's Day, like they always do.
I do think a lot of people are misconstruing this. What they're going to announce at halftime are just the cities themselves.
Oh, yeah. No, I just
I think a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to find out where teams are going to. No, it's just going to be the cities. New Year's Day will be when we find out.
Do you
which
think that's
team
when they'll do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's when fine. We find out what team that's goes fine. To what city.
Yeah. I just assumed it all would have came together. You take the time to like really think it out and be, you know, sure. Like maybe they decide now that, you know, whatever 8 cities are going to pick, they pick them now, but you don't put it out for the public until December when you have all of it figured out. Cause now you have the rest of the 6 months of the year to put all these teams in the space that you want them to be in. Then you roll it all out at once, but also not on their PR team, and their PR team does a great job. So I'm going to shut up and let them do their thing.
And they've been working on this for longer than we probably even know.
So oh, yeah, yeah. As somebody who knows how PR works due to my basic communications degree, they've been working on this for a while. And we're knowing what they want us to know when they want us to know it. That's the main piece of public relations.
I'm trying to pull up the list of cities here, but I can't find the post.
It's gigantic. First off,
I'm going to try and pull it up on Instagram because it might be there and not on Twitter for some reason. Here we go. So these are the locations that are on the full list. It's Albany, Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Boston, California, Carolina, Charlotte, Chicago, Columbus, Connecticut, Dallas, Denver, Florida, the Great Lakes, Kansas City, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Louisville, Maryland, the Midwest as a whole, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Nashville, New England, New York, New York City, Ohio, the Pacific Northwest, Philadelphia, Raleigh, Rocky Mountains, Salt Lake City, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Texas, Toronto, Washington State, and Washington, D.C. If you had to pick four, Deej, which four do you think are locks to be in the final eight?
Columbus. I think Columbus is a lock. I think Baltimore's a lock. As much as it pains me, because I don't want to go to this place, I think Salt Lake City is a lock. As much as I want to say Fairfield, I'm going to go a three-way tie with number four, based off of size, people showing up, and how often the league has been there. Denver, Fairfield, and Charlotte are all kind of parallel. But I don't know if they choose all of those, but I know they will choose one of those, if not more than one.
My four, like, certified locks, Albany, New England, Boston, however they want to spin it, Connecticut, that kind of mix there, that's a lock. Denver is a lock for me. And then, what was the other one? Albany, Boston, New England, Denver. Oh, Baltimore.
We've talked about this, though. Do you think Albany is a lock as the host city?
I do.
Okay, but where do they have training camp then moving forward?
Still have it there.
But then it's not really a host city, in my opinion.
Still is.
If everybody's there for an entire week, how is that someone's host? In my opinion, that subtracts it. And I think that it won't be a city for that very reason, is allowing someone to, like, allowing for everybody to have the same, like, home experience. Like, I mean, you only get a weekend. You get a weekend, you get two games. Like, but for them, like, for that to be,
I think it's
their home
to move training camp.
I don't know, man.
And keep Albany in the mix, because I think Albany's too profitable of a
I'm not saying take Albany away. I think it just remains as the opener with training camp attached, because they've been doing it there for the last 3 years now. It works. The food situation is figured out. The lodging situation is figured out. The field situation, like, they have all of that already figured out. Why step away from that? And it doesn't hurt you at all to keep Albany as not a city for now while you're on this tour base. You know people are going to come out to the opener. You know training camp works. Like, that is a proven system for you. Why go away from it?
I just think Albany's a lock. That's why. That's why it's my locks.
I mean, that's fair. It could be your lock. I was just throwing out that, like, I think it may be a lock as well, but I don't think it's a lock as, like, a city destination. I think it just stays a lock within, like how we reference playoffs, right? Like, none of us brought up Philadelphia, but Philadelphia is a lock probably for the championship, right? Like, we just expect the championship to be there. That's, like, my idea with Albany is I just expect opening weekend and training camp to be there because it works for them.
So you'll just – that effectively eliminates one of your open cities then every year.
What do you mean?
You have your 8 home destinations, and there's going to be 2 open cities along with All-Star and playoffs and everything. Making Albany, that eliminates effectively just a test market.
I mean, I think they use All-Star in that last weekend as a test market more than anything. I think trying to use all, like, training camp as a test market is tough.
Well, then how about this? You just put Albany in the playoffs.
So where are you putting training camp?
I'm just saying, like
that's my biggest thing is
I'm just saying training camp. You're going to make – I'm not worried about training camp. They can figure that out. I'm saying for, like, their actual, like, profitability, because training camp is training camp. Like, yes, it's a get-ready situation, but in terms of, like
– I mean, but that's extra work for them that they don't
have to do. Destination type cities, Albany's one of them. They sell it out every year.
That's why I'm saying
if you're not going to put a team there, make it a playoff stop.
I mean, but then you take away from, like, the already playoff stops that are set up. They're not going to go away from Boston if they don't put a team there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Boston is going to be. That's the only way I see Albany getting switched over to playoffs is if they decide to put a team in Boston and they don't do the playoffs there. But I just don't see them leaving and trying to move training camp. That is such a big deal. You're lodging so many people. You're feeding so many people. You need so many fields. Like, sure, a lot of places have that, but to already have that system set up, they're expecting you to come. They know what they need set out. They know what to provide you. Like, why go through all of that again when you already have it set up here? Like, that just doesn't seem logical to move away from that standpoint of something that already works to that, like, because that's, like, the largest movement they have to do, really, is getting everything there, getting all the teams there, all the coaches, being there for a week, lodging everybody. Like, that's their biggest expense and the most moving they do. So why not have that be solidified, something you know?
Too. If you're going to have home cities, why are you not going to have training camp in your home city?
I mean, they won't. Because it's not home city yet. Like, these people aren't
going into next season. You're going to have your home cities.
I agree, but they're not.
So then why wouldn't
that's you... not where these people are, like, living, and they're not, like,
sure, practicing not out in of Albany there either.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can't have, like, your individual training camps. Like, they do training camp all in one together. So
for now,
I mean, if they decide to split it up, then that's a completely different story.
I'm saying,
but they,
like, that they just don't. Came to my head, though. Like, that's yeah. A thing. Like, you look at just as an example, you look at the NFL. Their training camps are at their home facility, unless you're the dumbass Dallas Cowboys and you go to California because you're Jerry Jones and you just want to bring the Cowboys on tour.
But, like, I would get that if, like...
I think that's a more likely possibility, though.
But I don't know,
establishing where you're gonna play and everything, and obviously we don't know what stadiums are gonna be used and all that kind of stuff yet. We won't know that until teams are placed in their actual cities. But I think that's a more likely possibility, is that training camp occurs in your home city and then everybody meets up for week one, wherever week one may be.
That's if they decide to do that. Like, I guess that's if people actually move to those cities. Like, that's the biggest thing about having it, like, training camp at your own facility, is, like, people are living around that facility. Like, what I'm taking into account is the fact that, like, the PLL travels these guys. Like, they pay for this travel. So, like, I don't see them paying for all these people to go to these separate cities for their training camps for a week to then bring them together a week later at another place when they could have just brought them all to that place in the beginning and kept them there for a week like they've been doing.
Which is why, like, I think they're figuring out these markets and figuring out the best city to put each team in, too, seeing who lives where and Paul kind of brought that up too today.
Yeah, but he's still going to have to fly a handful of guys into separate cities. Even if you put most guys in a place where they live, you still have to send in a handful of guys from each team into their city and then fly all those teams out to the opening weekend. You just leave opening weekend with training camp. And I just think it just makes sense to leave it with Albany because it already works. Don't fix what ain't broke. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to digress anything because of a snap decision like that when you could have left Albany as a very successful opening tour stop with training camp and then did everything else around that.
That's why I don't make the decisions.
I mean, I don't either. I don't either.
I mean, that's also why there's a shit ton of unanswered questions still until January 1st. But
yep. Yep.
I also think from the perspective of if you have training camp in your home city and those guys are there, you can sell tickets to training camp.
I think you and sell you tickets to training, camp. I think you can sell tickets to training camp anyway.
I'm just saying because they've never done that.
Yeah.
But that's another way to
I think that's just
draw
their
people in and make more revenue is sell tickets to training camp, whether they're $5-$10 a piece or whatever.
I mean, the only way I see that happening is if they're going to then like make it enough to where they can pay for that, basically. Like money is big. Like that's the key factor I'm thinking through. Like I'm not really thinking through anything else. I'm thinking through money. Like they have it, but like they also still need to make it. So I don't see them making unnecessary expenses. And sending everybody to a different city seems like an unnecessary expense.
I just like brain thoughts.
I'm not a business person. First off, I need an accountant. Like I'm not the best with money. I'm just throwing like ideas out there of like what I imagine is happening in like the front office conversations and you know these rooms where these things are being hashed out. Like I would imagine these kind of things are being brought up. And kind of just, it's good for PLL and the sport when it's thrown out there by people like us, because then the discourse gets going on the socials. They pick up on the discourse, and with them being such a player and fan driven league, for us to be talking about this and for other people to pick up on it, they're going to take that into slight consideration. Not saying they're going to like be like, oh my God, they're talking about this and this. Let's do that. But
well, they have
the things we say. The things we say pop up in their conversation, so
they don't just pop up. They actually happen more often than not.
I'm just not trying to say that they just flat out listen to us and make it happen.
See those limited edition jerseys.
I'm not trying to say all that. We be having some good ideas, and they listen to them sometimes. That's all I'm saying.
See the mobile app coming out the day after Mike Riffle comes on the podcast, and I ask him about a video game.
Oh, stop it, bro. Stop it. We're good, but man, you were funny.
All right, let me stop. There is a laser beam on my forehead right now.
Oh, that is hilarious. Facts.
The All-Star Game jerseys, though, best we've gotten since 2019. No notes.
Yep. I mean, there isn't even too much to say about them. The black and white is a good look. I like the red and the gold for the helmets.
I don't know why in this one picture.
That color scheme is just perfect. Black, red, gold, and white is just, it's such a good color scheme. I like it.
No, it might just be my colorblind ass.
Uh-huh.
But the white jersey, the number, and it might just be the lighting too that they use, the numbers look navy blue.
Yeah,
now, I'm going to preface. It might just be my colorblind ass coupled with the lighting that they used.
Because
the front of the jersey looks black to me. Like the All-Star Game logo lettering. But then the numbers and everything look navy blue. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because even if it was navy blue, it wouldn't look
them
bad.
Times black. Them things black. I got you. They black.
I'm more of a fan of the veterans jerseys, though.
The black with the red Buc-ee's?
Yep.
The red trim. Yeah. Yeah. I like the checker on the shoulders.
I like the rose and the pomp and circumstance on the collar.
Lots of good things.
And you guys know, if you're a longtime listener to this podcast, you just know I'm not the biggest fan of white uniforms. Like you have
That's
to,
also
you
true.
Have to you have to stand out and be like pristine for me to like a whiteout uniform. And I'm a slut for a blackout uniform or any type of black jersey, pretty much. These All-Star game ones, they nice with it. So Vamos los Vets? Question mark.
See. See.
Or should I say it in a Kentucky accent? Let's go let's go veterans.
We love the veterans.
I tell you what, my veterans are going to whoop on them young whippersnappers.
Them young rookies ain't been out in the field yet. Them vets going to really take care of them boys.
I tell you what, back in my day, no youngin was out there in an All-Star game. It was all proven veterans.
Yep, you said it right. Veterans. I don't know what these young boys are out here doing. Those veterans. You seen that Rob Pannell? That Rob Pannell.
Rob Pannell? He's one of the best scorers I've done ever seen.
The Tom Schreiber?
Tom Schreiber?
Schreiber?
Old Tommy Schreiber, he used to paint my fence back in the day.
You know Tommy Schreiber. That man's got
just confused him. That's Tom Sawyer.
I'm screaming.
I can't wait to see Matty Plum become the face of this All-Star game. I tell you what.
And that man between the pipes, Blaze Rardon? Rardon, that boy is different.
He's got a great name too. I named my son Blaze after him.
I ain't gonna try to say his last name, but he be playing with that long stick. That boy can do everything.
And
with that
I tell
long
you
stick.
What, Jared Newman. He got the fastest shot I've done ever seen this side of the Mississippi.
And while he a new man, Marcus got a hold of the old man.
Jared Newman be shooting that ball like he's Bob Ross. Beat the devil out of him.
People are going to be so lost.
Oh man, that's great. That's our All-Star game preview. Hope everybody enjoys the All-Star game. One last bit of news here. It's brought to you by our friends over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer of Underground Sports Philadelphia. New Gold Top Kenny's Deej. They're getting closer and closer to you as Kenwood Beer now available in Pittsburgh. The Yinzers rejoice. You can now get Kenny's at select locations, and you can find out all of that information by going to kenwoodbeer.com and using the all-new and improved Kenny Tracker to see who has Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia and now Pittsburgh area. You can buy Kenny's at your local liquor store. You got to be 21 or older to do so, and of course, please drink responsibly. Deeds, just when you were in... They make you lose your mind. Kurt Muloski is heading to Vancouver to be the Vancouver Warriors head coach and general manager, leaving the Calgary Roughnecks, an organization he's been a part of since 2008. Played his final two seasons of NLL lacrosse with the Roughnecks before being hired in 2012 as an associate head coach. He's been there ever since, won an NLL Cup towards the end of his playing career, won one in 2019 as a coach, and now, with his contract expiring on July 1st, was not renewed, and he is heading to Vancouver. Deej is the newest Calgary Roughnecks fan. How do you feel about losing your head coach GM so soon?
Pain. This one hurts a little bit, man. I don't know if I'm gonna be able. I will be. It's gonna suck watching that first Calgary Roughnecks game of the 2023-24 season and not seeing his Snaggletooth mug on the other side. I'm gonna miss just that hole in his mouth more than anything. Like, just watching him just give the ref some, and you know that tooth is gonna shine bright. Lack of tooth is going to shine bright very soon. It's like the pinnacle of a Calgary Roughnecks game. It sucks. It does. As I'm in my Canadian tux for the day. But I'll be okay. I mean,
this is huge for Vancouver Warriors fans, huge for British Columbia. I think he is the voice that organization has needed to kind of get them back on track. You know, they've kind of been in this weird limbo state that just has not worked. They've tried to throw everything at the wall. Last year they traded Mitch Jones to Philly, which kind of signaled like, hey, we're ready to kind of rebuild and start over here. But now you bring in Mulawski as the coach, as the GM. He's going to make Vancouver a free agent destination. He's going to make guys want to go come play for him. So that's huge if you're a Vancouver Warriors fan. You're getting a proven winner. And, hello, an instant rivalry now. Vancouver and Calgary is going to be must-see TV. Because now your former championship-winning head coach and former player is coaching a rival. Bring me all the tea. Bring me all the drama. Vancouver and Calgary for the first couple games next year is going to be must-see. And hopefully throughout Mulawski's tenure there will be must-see TV.
They're not better than us, though, so it don't matter. Calgary by a billion every single time. Every single time. I don't even want to hear it. Nothing. But I do agree. I think this is huge for Vancouver. I think their offense is going to improve a ton. I think their team morale as a whole is going to improve a ton, and they're just going to be a much better team moving forward with a guy like Mulawski at the helm of things. It starts at the top, and this is a great move for them.
And I mean, he's a BC guy. He's from the area, so that also helps. You know, he was quoted in this article from our guy Adam Levy on the NLL's official website saying, I've coached a lot of guys in the NLL, whether in junior, minor, or at the NLL level. I've got a great relationship with a lot of great players from British Columbia. And truth be told, I'm going to try and tap into those. I've had a lot of success with a lot of great guys. We're hoping that having the ability for guys to come home to play in their market and play in front of family and friends 9 or more times a year will make this an enticing place to be. And future for the Warriors, you know, Mulawski at the helm as the bench boss and GM. It's going to be interesting to see how many of BC's top talents come over to play for the Warriors. British Columbia has produced dozens of elite players over the years, and plenty of them are free agents this summer. So will he be able to lure them in? And if so, what impact will they have on the team? And I hope to God the Philadelphia Wings do not let Mitch Jones go back home and they re-sign him, because I will be a distraught boy if Mitch leaves. He also says in this article that I've got a vision of what we need to add and what's already there, or what we need to add to what's already there. There are some good pieces there right now. We're going to try and add some pieces around them to evaluate the talent that we have. We're going to look around the free agent market and see who we can bring in that makes sense. And obviously, just like I did in Calgary, I'm a big build through the draft guy. And that's going to be the important thing too. Like Vancouver, they finally have draft picks for the first time in a long time. They typically don't have them. So that's going to be a massive part of this like new era of Warriors lacrosse, is building through the draft and finally holding on to your draft picks and making your draft picks, you know, reasonable options for you, not just trade pieces, not just guys who sit around who don't end up playing for you. So very enticing to see what happens here with Kurt Muloski in Vancouver. I am intrigued to see just how this all plays out, who ends up going there to play for Muloski, and this could potentially be one of those like moments in NLL history that changes the league for quite some time because of his pedigree, of his stature, and what it can do to kind of salvage that market in Vancouver that's been down since kind of the beginning.
Question. Am I allowed to get a mulligan if the team just goes to just absolute utter dismay in the matter of, a year? Like, if half the team leaves and then it's just bad, like, am I allowed to, like, retry?
Well, at least you know Christian DelBianco is not leaving because he's never hitting free agency.
He did say that. I feel really good about DelBianco. I love the guy. He's one of the most hilarious lacrosse players on Twitter. But, I mean, offer still, like, that's a serious question.
I think we let the people decide.
Okay.
I think that's only fair. We'll put a poll up and let the people decide whether or not you're allowed a mulligan on deciding your favorite team. It is tough to lose the coach of the year.
It's almost like they did it in spite of me.
They said, here.
DJ's on board?
The Aaron Rodgers guy is trying to get on board with us?
We don't need Kurt. Get out of here. Get out of here. He can come coach us. He won coach of the year, too. It's no big deal. No big deal. We'll bring him in.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. I think that's all I have for this week. All-Star Week, and then Dallas, and then Baltimore, and then a lot of late nights for the boys.
Yeah. Lots of them. Seattle's going to be rough.
The craziest part is, brother, that's not even the roughest one.
Is it Denver?
No.
Oh, it's that one place I don't like.
No, wait, I might be wrong. Seattle is the worst one.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Seattle is the toughest one. Luckily, it's a Friday, Saturday. But Seattle, it's a 9 p.m., 11:30 p.m., and then 8 p.m., 10:30 p.m. All Eastern time.
So late. But I'm going to be up.
Man, that 11:30 p.m. start time is going to be so rough.
That's gonna be like Albany delay,
except that was a 1 o'clock in the morning start.
I know, but I was
battling
after through. You had already been there too for a minute.
Oh man, I'm tired. Spent all already day looking at that schedule. I'm tired already looking at the schedule, and it's a
showing
away.
Your age. You're showing your age.
Hey.
You don't even care, huh?
It is what it is.
You got the big one around the corner, bro.
Man, stop rushing my life.
We got to do something.
Yeah, I'm going to be in bed by 9 o'clock. That's gonna be my little treat.
No. Us as USP has to go do something. That's a big one. We can't not. I think that's the year that we do for everybody. We have to do a big USP for everybody's.
Well, Dom's number is before mine.
Okay, so he just gets grouped in with yours.
Dom's is 2 weeks before me.
Yeah, we just get grouped in then. That's fine.
I'm not the oldest at this company, goddammit.
I wouldn't even call you that old.
Everybody know.
I didn't throw the number out there either. I just said the number.
I'm turning 30, goddammit. Oh, I am not okay.
He said it.
I'm not okay.
I think the Dirty 30 is the one that we got to do for everybody at USP. Just go absolute bonkers on something. Let's go skydiving or something.
Hell no. I'll watch. You want to jump out of a plane, let your bones go all haywire.
YOLO.
Yeah, exactly. I only live once. I'm trying to live as long as I can.
I'm going to keep my feet on solid ground.
Yup. I barely jump anymore, let alone skydive. Jump out of your mind.
I don't know. We can find something else. Huh? Go to the boardwalk and harass people or something.
Yeah, in October when it's freezing cold down there.
Perfect time. We can take a swim.
Yeah.
The waves can't be that bad.
You're trying to kill me.
Correction. I'll watch you take a swim because I'm not getting in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to kill me. Trying to give me hypothermia and frostbite.
If the rip current doesn't get you first. Hey, I'm just saying, Dirty 30's got to go hard. What else are we here for?
A good time.
A good time.
Don't rush your summer, people. Don't rush your summers. That's my advice to everybody. Don't let people rush your summers. Follow us on the socials at OTBLaxPod, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It goes a long way for helping this show continue to grow. Helps more people find Underground Sports Philadelphia. Deej was also on the main pod this week, so make sure you go listen to that. We had a good time on there. Subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. That's where you get full video episodes of this show, every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams. We're very close to partial monetization on the channel as well, which means more live stream content potentially coming your way. We need to get to 1,000 subscribers before September 4th turns to September 5th. Otherwise, DJ's moving to Alaska, and I know you guys don't want that to happen. He'd lose out on this studio, too. I don't think you have a parent station in Alaska. I could be wrong, but...
I don't believe so. I don't believe we do.
It's tough. Gotta subscribe.
DJ1K.
#DJ1K. Gotta get to 1,000 before September 4th. Let's get on it. July's almost over. We're almost down to a month. You gotta get the people going. You gotta get everybody at your job to
don't be saying subscribe. That kind of stuff, man.
You gotta get at the job to subscribe.
I know. You're right.
That way they don't lose their best employee.
I gotta tell them.
Yep.
If they don't subscribe, I'm up out of here. It's on you. It's on you.
Forced to Alaska. Help save me.
Please save me. I do want to be saved, so save me.
He's the opposite of the girl in the J. Cole song.
Very opposite.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground, 10% off any and all merch orders. We got some fun stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks that you won't want to miss. Stay tuned for that. But this has been episode number 284 of the allegedly award-nominated, honorably mentioned, number 9 NCAA-ranked, viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Enjoy All-Star Weekend. And we'll see you back here next week, getting ready for the big one in Dallas. But until then, we're getting the heck up out of here. Peace.
Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.